You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Robert Strait. Robert, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi there. How are you, Brainerd?
Good, thanks. Robert, let's talk about what you're working on now. What are you working on at the moment in your studio?
Since this virus thing started, I've been in the studio quite a lot, and right now I'm working on things on paper, paintings on paper. They're all 16 by 22 inches, and I started out with a particular idea of using two interlocking circles as the main structure of the paintings, and as time has gone on, it's morphed into paintings that are much freer and more about color. And I've actually used a word in a painting, something I've never done before. So it's a good time for me just to experiment without any outside pressure.
So tell me about some of these. That sounds interesting because the last work I've seen of yours, which was last year, they were paintings that were shaped and they were on wood and foam. Is that correct? That was the last work you did before this body of work, which is on paper?
Yes. The those paintings, and those are still on the back burner. They are shape paintings, and they're based on, my history. I grew up in California, and when I was younger, I was surfing quite a lot. And the thing that attracted me to surfing was not only the physical part of it, but the structure of the surfboard. And I love the edges of the board, how it was rounded, but it had a particular shape. So those paintings that I had previously been working on were made from foam, like a builder's foam for insulation, and then covered with canvas and backed with wood. So the shapes actually are rounded along the edges. And then I would paint on them. And one of the things with the actual painting that I was shooting for was a kind of simplicity, which is in these new things I'm working on paper. Really have become fairly complicated visually, but in the shape paintings on canvas and foam, I really was trying to get down to the essence of shapes that interlock, and so that was really.
But also, it's about the sensuality, really, of the surfboard, isn't it? I mean, when I see these works, there. The edges look like you want to touch them, right? You want to hold on to them. Since you've talked about it, I don't know if viewers have this experience, but it feels like you want to hold that painting in your hand. It's kind of a sensual object, the way you've created the curves and used foam and wood to create this tactile feeling like a surfboard.
Yeah.
And I mean, I never thought of it before, but a surfboard, it's also very intimate, tactile experience, right? You're laying on it, almost naked. You're holding on to it. The water, riding. It's the works, the paintings. Those paintings that we're just talking about seem, in a way, like there's so much more of a visceral experience. You know that the viewer would almost want to touch. I mean, I know that's always taboo, right? And with paintings, but it feels like this is the kind of thing I'd want to take off a wall and hold.
Right. I would say history, too, has been a reference for me. artists like Ron Gorchov and Jean Art, who worked with shaped structures. You know, that has been a reference. But another thing that I've always tried to shoot for in my work over these past 50 years that I've been painting is to make something that is really my own. And I've always felt that kind of freedom as an artist in that I can actually do anything I want to do. And there's no restrictions. I suppose the one restriction for me is that historical sense of references.
Does that and, make sense? Yeah, that does make sense. That does make sense, of course. And, you know, in the new work, this really, I think, relates to some of the work we're talking about. It sounds like you're working with a continuing theme of kind of interlocking shapes or puzzle-like scenarios. Is that what's happening? Because you're just beginning to describe these works on paper. But you said there are circles that are interlocking?
Right. Yeah. You know, geometry has been another thing that has been an ongoing thing that I address. And oftentimes the structures of the paintings have some sort of mathematical reference. Not always, but at one point, I was doing shape paintings that had nine sides to them, and it was that idea of using these perfect numbers and seeing how that structure can influence the visual part of the painting.
But is that what's happening now with these works on paper? They sound like they're much looser in a way. How is mathematics or that structure entering into the current works?
It's not quite as important to me right now. I may come back to that. You know, as I'm working in the studio, it seems like thoughts and ideas that I've had at one point oftentimes morph to something new, and as that progresses, then things in the past also start to pop up again. So, you know, in some ways, I think that, you know, for a lot of artists, they latch on to a particular style or a particular way of working, and they continue that throughout their career. And I've always felt this freedom where I can try out and experiment and do things in different ways. But as I've grown older and I look back on the work that I've done in the past, I realize that, in fact, a lot of the things that always seem new to me are references to things that had occurred earlier in my career. So maybe I'm just running around in circles. I don't know.
Well, I think I don't know if it's in circles, but I think we, you know, as painters, as artists mature, you end up referencing the past more because you understand it in a different way. Right? I mean, when I look at Jasper John's work, for example, he's making new work, but he's also seems to be referencing and in dialogue with original ideas or early ideas that he sees differently now.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, I think Jasper Johns is a hero in many ways in that he started out with a different kind of work in the way that it looked, but some of those same images keep reoccurring in a different way. So, I think that's interesting.
So too, and so in terms of making this body of work, this is a new body of work. Do you know where this will end up or what will happen? Because this is all, you're saying, a body of work that's coming out of this this lockdown period? Is that correct, that this work on paper is all from the last 60 days or almost 90 days now?
Yes. I'm with these things on paper right now, I'm kind of feeling like I have time to play and try things out and not necessarily worry about exhibiting them or, any kind of outside pressure, which is kind of a nice feeling. And another thing that I'm finding is that some of the things that I'm using, like these two interlocking circles on the original works on paper, those have actually started to be streamlined and become kind of shapes that might, when I get back to doing the things with the foam, become the major shape of the painting itself, and then I'll paint into that.
I see. That might be a starting point, almost like studies for painting.
Yes.
And in terms of that kind of mathematical, or that, you know, the circles, the interlocking circles, is that a specific reference to you? Not to pick it apart too much, but, you know, that's a very kind of ancient symbol, it seems to me, the interlocking circles, and I suppose it has many meanings, but it seems to be one of those very rich symbols.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes things that on one level seem purely mathematical also can start to suggest other ideas, such as, you know, these two interlocking circles, for me, could represent two different people, perhaps, or I have a twin brother, and perhaps it's, you know, that egg dividing. It is on one level very mathematical, but on another level it's not at all. And that's another thing that I found as I've worked over the years, is that most of the images that I have used tend to have some sort of meaning for me beyond just being, say, a decorative element.
Well, I like the idea of what you're talking about also in terms of freedom. I mean, you mentioned that at the beginning, but of course, you know, what an artist needs most is total freedom. And you said something like that, but it sounds like that's what you're experiencing now, without having to prepare for a show or have expectations. The work now is both playful and allows you to be completely free with what you want to do. Is that correct?
Yes. The you know, that whole thing of exhibiting work, well, you know, it's necessary and it's important. Yet, I know a lot of artists will do a series of works just for a show. And I've always thought of my work as ongoing, not made for a specific exhibit. And so when a show does come up for me, and I usually already have a lot of work, and then I'll select pieces that I think will be interesting to be seen together. But when I'm actually working, usually there's not a specific goal of making a group of works that look similar and will be, used in a particular exhibition.
That's very interesting. I want to ask you one more question, which is a little off topic. But I'm always curious what everyone's reading. Are you reading anything particular at the moment?
I just finished reading
Little Fires Everywhere.
Little Fires. I'm also reading Lakota America. It's a history of indigenous peoples in the United States. That's interesting for me, too. And another thing about being holed up in my studio is it's really given me time to do some reading that in the past I haven't had that much time to do. So in a way, this is kind of a gift.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. Robert, I really appreciate your time, and I wish you well with your studio work.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed this.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.